Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the formula of Concord, looking at Article 9 on Christ's descent into hell. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We're people at home cannot see this, but we don't
start out with an excellent radio reference.
Yeah, right. We don't have a table in front of us. We're sitting around chairs.
But... yeah, we are at the mercy of how the school uses the recording studio, and we just filmed a conversational style podcast episode, and so we are sitting in three kind of dentist waiting room chairs looking at each other instead of around our normal table. I like it. It's cash.
I am sitting. I've never been to a dentist with chairs this comfortable. If I fall asleep, there's got to be something you guys got to do to wake me
up. Okay. The lobby at my dentist is the best part of that whole place.
That's not saying much. It's a dentist. No offense to any dental...
We love you, dentists.
Practitioners.
Yeah.
In this listening.
In that vocation.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for that service to our world.
No. Oh, awesome. Yeah, we're getting back to recording. I think this is the first time we've recorded in the year 2026.
Yeah, we haven't done this all year.
Yeah, this is first time this year.
Yeah.
So we're back at it, and we are quickly approaching the end of the Book of Concord content.
Countdown has reached four.
Yeah.
And then there's three more articles after this. And then, who knows, beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll start doing podcasts on Jordan Cooper's works, article by article. That would be such a meta Lutheran thing to do.
Right. Yes.
I wonder what Jordan would think if we just start going chapter by chapter through only his books.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. Yeah, no, we are in Article 9 today of the Formula of Concord. Christ's descent into hell, and I think, Jason, you said that this is maybe the only time where the content here is longer than in...
Once or twice it happens in the Augsburg Confession.
Yeah, Solid Declaration, yep.
But in the Formula of Concord, by design, the Solid Declaration is supposed to be the drawn-out, explained version of the Epitome. Like, the Epitome is the highlight, the succinct argument.
The commentary and afterwards.
It's the small catechism to the large catechism.
A little bit.
Or vice versa. It's the large catechism to the small catechism.
But in this case, like, you get to the Solid Declaration on the Christ's descent into hell, and they're like, yeah, we already told you guys.
Well, I mean...
they didn't want to touch this one. It's a little bit of an interesting doctrine in the sense that scripturally it is clear that it happened, but it's not expounded on.
Yeah, there's no explanation. And
the descent into hell. I don't know if we've actually said that.
Oh, yeah.
We're on Christ's descent into hell, and the Andreae and Chemnitz and the writers of the formula rely heavily on Luther. Like most of the article is just quoting a sermon snippet from Luther, and basically he's like, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go there. Christ's descent into hell is the elephant graveyard of the Book of Concord. You see that over there? It exists, but we don't want to spend too much time there. Yeah. That's where the hyenas live.
We're getting into it here, but we're going to talk about this. But why do you guys suppose it is so short in that description here?
Because it's important that it happened, because Scripture lists it. But this is where this is the perfect example of Lutherans going as far as Scripture takes us and then stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything beyond the two or three verses in 1 Peter chapter 3 and a couple of hints and allegations like Ephesians 4 talks about
three?
To say that Christ descended.
Oh, yeah.
But even and that's
that,
dubious if it's even about hell.
Yeah, and that's I was going to say. That particular Ephesians passage is probably more of a descent to earth from heaven.
Yep.
You know, than it is probably a descent into hell. But there's some debate on the exact reference, but
So beyond that, there is nothing. And so it's up to us to figure out why it's mentioned, but why it isn't, you know, expounded on. It's not extrapolated in Scripture for us. And so what we're going to find out as we go through, especially the first two episodes of this unit, there's plenty of room for us to talk about Christ's humiliation versus his exaltation. There's plenty of room for us to talk about the nature of the gospel and what it means for judgment. And we are sure, I'm going to make sure either this episode or next episode, we're going to talk about all the art. This is the coolest part of Christian art in church history because it's a church tradition that they talk about the harrowing of hell. And we'll get there. It's you can do a search, like a Google image search, or even going onto Wikipedia and looking up the harrowing of hell, and it's amazing. I don't want to fire that ammunition until we get there, because we've got a limited amount of content to fill four episodes, and it's really good stuff. So we'll walk you guys through some of that in a little bit. Brett, I think first episode, you're going to read the epitome, the whole article.
The whole thing, and then the
second
next one,
episode, you're going to read the solid declaration. We'll have to come up with like two more minutes of content on that one.
Yeah.
But then we'll get into it.
Yeah. All right. So let's hear. This is from the Formula, Article 9, Christ's Descent into Hell. It says, the chief question at issue in the controversy about this article. There has been a dispute among some theologians of the Augsburg Confession concerning this article also. The questions raised were, when and how, according to our simple Christian creed, did Christ go to hell? Did it happen before or after his death? Did it occur only according to the soul, or only according to the deity, or according to body and soul, spiritually or corporeally?
Corporeally.
Yeah.
There we go. Somewhere Andrew Nealon just crying.
Just leave it to me to misrepresent or mispronounce a word. All right. Does this
apotelesmaticum?
Okay. Yeah. I know. All right. Continuing on.
Apotamax.
Apotamax. That was my
Apotamax. Yeah. Does this article belong to Christ's suffering or to his glorious victory and triumph? This article, like the preceding one, cannot be comprehended with our senses and reason, but must be apprehended by faith alone. Therefore, it is our unanimous opinion that we should not engage in disputations concerning this article, but believe and teach it in all simplicity as Dr. Luther of blessed memory taught in his sermon preached at Torgau in the year 1533. Epic sermon, where he explains this article in a wholly Christian manner, eliminates all unnecessary questions, and admonishes all Christians to simplicity of faith. It is enough to know that Christ went to hell, destroyed hell for all believers, and has redeemed them from the power of death of the devil and of the eternal damnation of the hellish jaws. How this took place is something that we should postpone until the other world, where there will be revealed to us not only this point, but many others as well, which our blind reason cannot comprehend in this life, but which we simply accept. That's the end of the Article 9 of the Formula of Concord.
All right.
Let's get into it here. Where do we want to start with this conversation?
I think we start with the chief question. Right, you know, that's how the article starts. And so you've got when and how, according to our simple creed, did Christ go to hell? And so the simple creed's the Apostles' Creed.
Yeah.
Okay, so I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. And that's where it's listed. The descent into hell is not mentioned in the Nicene Creed.
Right, yeah.
And is it mentioned in the Athanasian Creed? I don't have that
memorized. Yeah, you don't have that.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have that memorized.
Is it a minute long?
If you could do the Athanasian Creed in 97.
Two minutes. Yeah.
No, I think it's longer than that.
I think it's like a good 4 minutes to get to the Athanasian Creed.
I made my classes, when we were talking about the Trinity, I made them stand up and confess it, mostly so they didn't fall asleep in class when I was teaching, but like so that they had to get up and speak. And it's considerably longer, but I don't think it's in there. I'll look it up. You know,
if there was only a way we could find that quickly.
Did you guys, like me, when you're younger, not after seminary, but before that, ever when we were confessing the Apostles' Creed at church, I did this as a kid, maybe high school age, where I didn't, I would say all the rest of the words, but when we got to the descended into hell, I just didn't, I didn't say it, because I, at the time, I didn't
time
really.
Brett, yeah. Are you telling us that when you got to that part, you said descended into heck?
No.
Is this a confession, Brett?
No, no, it's worse.
I know where you're. So
yeah,
I just
didn't say the words.
Yeah,
at all.
I have friends from other denominations who have wrestled with this.
Okay.
They are not sold that this is a doctrine that is actually taught in Scripture, and so they they take a knee just on that phrase, and they stay silent on it. I've heard that before. Yeah. I've never had a problem with this.
Okay.
Again, from my perspective, the descent into hell is clearly taught in 1 Peter.
Yeah.
You know, again, and it's enough that it happened.
Mm-hmm. And there's mention as to what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the proclamation.
To the prisoners.
To the prisoners. Of the victory that's there. Athanasian Creed, by the way, yes.
It's in there. Is. Okay, yeah. I thought it was.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, etc.
Interesting.
So it was good enough for Athanasius.
Yeah. They
good
say,
enough for me.
They say that there's a, you know, that's important in this article because it has now two of the three ecumenical creeds, two of them mention it. And they say that that's kind of the defense of like this being an important early church teaching. Hmm. But if it had just been the Apostles' Creed, maybe there would have been some debate or more debate. Yeah. But the Athanasian Creed includes it.
Yeah. So the way I teach the Apostles' Creed, which is actually this is a good way to think about this. The way I teach all three of the creeds in a bunch of my classes is that you start to realize what was important. Or why what was important is important because of what they're confessing against. So what is the situation that made this positive statement of doctrine so important? And the Apostles' Creed is an intentional statement against Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the lens of the creed through Gnosticism, in the same way you look at the Nicene Creed through the lens of it's against Arius, stuff starts to just jump off the page. So the first article of the creed, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It's anti-Gnostic because the Gnostics were anti-creation, anti-matter. And then the second is you get all of the physical parts of what Jesus did are emphasized in the confession. So Jesus is, you know, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. And that's why I take the time is like in that phrase, born of the Virgin Mary, what was offensive to the Gnostics wasn't the virgin part. That's kind of cool. You know, for the special secret sauce that they like, but what was offensive is the born, is that Jesus was born physically. You know, Jesus comes out and he's covered in amniotic fluid, mm-hmm. and he's got all of this, and the Gnostics just can't deal with that. They can't deal with Jesus being a physical God. Okay? Yeah. And so when you go down that, you start to see why the early church might have included the descent into hell. That this is a physical part of what Jesus did connected with both his suffering and his exaltation, although the church teaches the suffering of Christ, the humiliation of Christ, ends on the cross.
Yeah.
Because that's where he says it is finished.
Right. Yeah.
In the 1 Peter passage where it talks about the descent, is there mention of the time frame? Because there's a little bit of controversy way too, like when
point by point
in the creed it is, you know, suffered, died, buried, descended, rose, right? And there's that whole, you know, progression, right, of him dying and rising, right? And you put it right in the middle, and it's portrayed as though it happened on Holy Saturday, right?
Is usually the observance,
and that's it is. But at the same time, we have to expect. Do we not that his physical body was still in the tomb? So when you're the only reason I ask all this, Jason, is to push back on what you were saying a little bit and say, is this whole bodily descent into hell is the bodily part.
Yeah, let me walk that back that and clarify. I don't want to spoil, because we're like, our New Testament Bible study is going to be on 1 Peter 3, so we better not use all of our content for
save
that.
Save some of your
Stop referencing the Bible.
Stop
for 2 weeks.
Stop engaging me on this podcast. I will dependent on conversation.
Yeah, especially about the Bible, Jason. Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
So you're right. It's because the emphasis is he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Now, there's nothing specific it says that he might bring to God being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. And then it's immediately after that is the descent into hell. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about, the flesh and blood, is not just bodily for the sake of bodily, but that it's a tangible, real thing. And this is where the Gnostics get weird, because if you're anti-matter, then the spirit specifically isn't a real thing, but is this ethereal, vague abstraction of a thing. And that's what they're talking about when the Gnostics are all over the board. They're really weird.
Yeah.
But it's spirit in contrast to matter. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's what they're fighting against. And what the creed does, and again, I'll be careful, is it makes the spirit a real thing.
Yeah.
A concrete part of Jesus' identity, if that makes sense, so that we can't just play fast and loose with the spiritness of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right.
I won't argue with you anymore.
Yeah,
thank you.
On this, especially with Scripture. I'll stay away from that.
Just leave the Bible out of this.
I think it's funny that we're trying to get, you know, the content that we are out of this, when the entirety of the article basically is like, there's a whole lot of question marks we don't really understand and aren't super important for the whole picture here. But one of the I think we're going to get into this next episode, so I'm going to pause there.
Yeah.
What will we get into the next episode?
Well, I mean, we still have like a good 7 minutes to burn.
Yeah,
here.
I know, but we've got a whole other episode we've got to fill.
That's true.
So how much we've been talking last few articles about, you know, the person of Christ and you know the
that's where we need to head on.
Okay,
this.
Yeah, and that was my thought here. Or question is, you know, how much does that doctrine, you know, the idea of the incarnation, fully God, fully man, how much does that come into play in this article?
All of it.
Okay.
And so we talked about, if you rewind back to when we started the formula, more so than any other doctrine or any other document of the Book of Concord, save for the Small Catechism, the flow and structure of the formula is very important, because they're constructing a logical progression of how we understand doctrine. Mm-hmm. So remember, the formula starts with original sin. It doesn't start with the doctrine of God. So it's a different prolegomena. And then you work your way through the formula, and you've got this really great progression of the two natures of Christ, and then Holy Communion, and then the descent into hell. And so we've been working up to who is Jesus and what can he do. And this is where it's like, okay, yeah, the descent into hell is this colossal mystery. And I think we probably, to end the episode, we should round back to those major questions mm-hmm. that they address in the article. The descent into hell is this major question. Why is it a matter of confession for us? And it's a matter of confession is because of who Jesus is and why he did what he did. Mm-hmm. And so Article 7 is the two natures of Christ, or communion. I always get them inverted in my head. The article, I think seven is
supper.
Seven is Holy Supper. Eight is the two natures of Christ. And then now it's Jesus descending into hell. And you've got, Jesus does this because he's fully God and fully man. And so the last shade of anything that is not speculation we add into our understanding of this article is Jesus descends into hell because he's fully God and fully man.
Hmm. And you, again, I'm not going to reference any scripture, but it may have been written by an apostle in a very important book that we look at sometimes, where it talks about what did he do there.
And he proclaimed. His name rhymes with leader.
He goes to proclaim, but what is it that he's proclaiming? He's proclaiming victory over sin, which he is not doing simply and only and exclusively as God. Because, of course, God can throw sinners into hell, whatever. But the victory over sin that was won at the cross. And I think that is the importance of the connection, whether it happened Holy Saturday or not. Whatever the exact date of this event happened isn't the point. The point was that it was post-finished work on the cross. And this is what I was going to get into next episode. But it really becomes it's a law and gospel thing.
Yep.
It's a law and gospel issue. And so when we think about it, what it is, and we're going to talk about this, I'm sure, it's not a part of his humiliation. He didn't go to suffer in hell because of our, like we would because of our sin.
And there is a theory that Jesus finishes his suffering by going to hell.
There is.
Yep.
But that I don't think is biblical.
Neither
it's
do
not
I.
The, it's not the argument. I think that this, and we'll talk about this in the humiliation, exaltation of Christ.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of the first step, if you will, into the exaltation of Christ. You know, that his glorification, his exaltation as king, he goes down victorious, making declaration, like kings do when they defeat armies. Who did Paul say in Colossians that Jesus defeated in the cross? The powers, the principality, all of the forces of evil, right? He's talking about destroying Satan.
Yeah, and that's First John 2, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil.
And so it's a conquering king visiting a domain that now he says no longer has a king. That there is no Satan, and this goes into the whole doctrine of Satan too. He is not the king of hell. Hell is there for him too.
Yeah. Satan's being punished in hell like all the other unbelievers.
Yeah, it's not like, all right, Satan, you're decent at your administration skills. We'll let you govern hell. No, you're going to suffer there because of your trying to usurp the authority of God. So the whole descent into hell, it's a declaration, it's an exaltation of a conquering king declaratating corporeal declaring his unmitigated, unqualified victory.
And the key to understanding that is that it is finished on the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that moment, Jesus completes the work of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to understand it that way.
Yep.
So the law and gospel thing, now as Jesus is laid in the tomb, he sanctifies the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gospel for the believer, that death is no longer a threat. Death is our entrance into eternity, and we thank and praise Jesus for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on Article 9 of the Formula of Concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.